Not because I think I've got all the answers and I'm going to tell you all how to be, what your place is in your husband's ministry. Not at all. But there are some things that I wish somebody had shared with me that I've had to find out the hard way. And I think, too, that there's, we as ministers' wives have a unique place. And just every, we're not free all the time to go to someone else for counseling and this sort of thing. And for this reason, we build up our problems, have a way of building up that really we need somebody to help us handle. So let me just say, from the very beginning, that I believe if you will trust God to give you that special friend that we all need sometimes, that He will give you someone. You say, well, shouldn't the Lord be sufficient? Yes, He's sufficient. He's sufficient. And some of His sufficiency is realized when we have to depend on other people. One of our problems, I think, as ministers' wives sometimes is that we feel that we must be self-sufficient. And we must not let anybody think we have any problems. And consequently, this builds up even a false image of ourselves to ourselves. That was my first and biggest mistake. And so I'd like to just share part of it amounts to a testimony. In some of the ways that God has had to show me. And I know you have things that you could share with us that I won't even touch on this afternoon. So tomorrow afternoon, there's going to be a session where Shirley and Mary Ann, who is another minister's wife in our church, three of us will be together, and maybe there's some questions you'd like discussed that, like I said, that we don't touch on this afternoon. And it will really be, there'll be a panel, but we'll all come expecting to contribute when the opportunity comes. I think that's one of the greatest ways. And listen, if you can just realize as a minister's wife, God doesn't expect you to know it all. So swallow that pride and let someone else minister. He made us to need each other. I do believe with all my heart that He is sufficient for every problem, everything that comes up in our lives. I believe that. But I'd like to say, in His sufficiency, sometimes He likes to work through others. I mean, this was not my introduction. Some way we got started this way. So some of you must need to know that. I know I did. When I started as a minister's wife, I was so determined. I was so determined that I was going to be the best minister's wife any church we were ever in ever had. I was just committed myself to that. And I tell you, I worked so hard at that. I really jumped head first. If there was anything that needed to be done that nobody else would do, well, I just assumed I was supposed to do it. Any of you ever felt like that? You know? And it didn't matter what came up. Well, I expected that I should be sufficient, you know? Well, I was sincere, and this is why I'm sharing this with you. I wasn't being hypocritical. I was sincerely trying. And I know maybe many of you already at this conference, a part of the list that you made this morning might have been some of that trying that you have tried so hard to do. But let me tell you, well, I hope you find out easier than I, because it took a nervous breakdown for me to really find the truth. You see, the biggest thing that I had to face was one word, really. That's honesty. And that's what your session this morning was all about. And you're going to find out that it's going to be a continued life of honesty if you're going to get the continued blessing of the Lord. And if you've sort of hedged and hemmed and backed up and dodged this morning, you're going to miss the rest of the blessing that God has for you. There's nothing that God can force on us until we're honest in our hearts. You might not have that problem, but I have a feeling that most of us find it hard to really say, okay, God, you show me what you see when you look at me. Not what I see, not what other people see, but what do you see, God? And like I said, that's some of what you've been seeing already. But let me tell you, this is just the beginning, and it must be a continued daily openness. Among the first prayers that you pray in the morning, it's just simpler if you will put that as a part of it. Lord, keep me open to you today. Sensitive to your spirit. So you can check me at any point in my thinking, in my attitudes, or the things that I do. I just want to stay open. And let me tell you, this openness is freedom. Openness is freedom from bondage. Well, as I said, my testimony was that I tried so hard, and then I had to see that so much of my reasons for wanting to be a good preacher's wife is because I wanted people to think I was a good preacher's wife. As a matter of fact, when I finally opened the door to honesty, the Lord showed me one of the most despicable people I ever saw, because I really found, when it got right down to it, that some of my even dealings with my children stemmed from the fact that I wanted people to think that I was a good mother. Of course, I was interested in my children, but a lot of what I did really stemmed from that. Well, I wanted people to think that my children must have a godly mother. See? That was a blow. And then he went on. I mean, I must warn you, if you've just opened the door, there's a little while it's rough. You know, I didn't realize it, but at that point I was taking pride in the fact that I had well-disciplined children. But if they kept their rooms, they kept their anything, you know, things were kept in order and all this sort of thing. And one day the Lord asked me, well, now, was that because I really was interested in my children's welfare? Or was it just easier living in a house that was, you know, Why was I really disciplining the children? Because it was easier on me. You know? Of course I wanted them to mind, but it didn't stem from them. It stemmed from me. And I found that so much of what I did seemingly for others, seemingly for the Lord, seemingly for my family, it didn't stem. The root of it wasn't first with them in mind. Really, they were just getting some of the benefits. I was the one that I was primarily interested in. Now, just keep open. Those were, those are hard blows to take. But what a relief. What a relief when the burden was lifted and I was able to say, okay, Lord, I'm not going to try to prove to any church member what a good Christian I am. I am first going to seek your will for the day, day by day by day. And if I keep you happy, Lord, that's my primary interest. I remember searching in prayer one morning how to go a step beyond what I had always been. I was just seemed to be searching for something beyond what it had been so far. And I remember when the thought came to me. And it's changed my whole outlook on what I do as a person. When the thought came to me, well, Lord, not what can you do for me today? Lord, what can I do today to make you happy? And you know, that took a lot of the drudgery out of what I was doing. Isn't it overwhelming to think that little old me, and I really think Johnny Lord can make God Almighty happy? That'll give you incentive to do anything, you know. That's just thrilling. And it takes a lot of the sweat out of it while you're doing it. Oh, that's precious. And so much of the time, I had racked my brains, well, now, what do I need from God today? You know, what do I need? Well, it is a truth that when my primary concern, those days that I sincerely have my primary concern is, God, what can I do to make you happy today? It includes making that phone call or seeing that woman that I know has such a problem till I've dreaded and put it off, you know. It includes studying hard for my Sunday school lesson. But then if I'm doing it because I know it's making him happy, it makes a difference. It completely refocuses your whole life. So that was one of the things that has made such a difference for me. Then as the Lord began reconstructing my life, he gave me some precious, precious promises that have really been my strength. One of the things he had to deal with me about is a problem that every woman I know that's married has, either has now or has had, when they're sincere about following the Lord. And it's interesting that that passage of Scripture followed the passage of Scripture that probably was used today. As you talked about the command, be filled with the Spirit. No, that's in Ephesians 5. I I've heard, I don't know, it might have been Peter, it might have been somebody else. But to me, it was a striking thing that I believe was really true. When someone had me realize that it was no accident that after being filled with the Spirit, then in the next few verses, we read, submit yourselves one to another, the other, in the fear of the Lord. Now, God knows that that's not possible until we're filled with the Spirit. I mean, that's just not possible in our own strength, is it? No. Because each one of us have that stiff-necked eye, you know. But do you know, it's, I believe this first verse there, the 21st verse, that says submitting yourselves to one to another in the fear of the Lord isn't necessarily talking about our husbands. I think this includes anybody in our church. Anybody, you know, even that ornery deacon or that woman that causes so much trouble. If we will not have to, how do we say it? In submitting myself to you, that means that what I have is yours. That means anything you need, I'm willing to give to you. That also means that I will not enforce on you the fact that I have rights and you can't take those rights from me. So if I've submitted my rights to the Lord, that means I don't have any rights as far as you're concerned either. And these are all hard things. Ooh, you know. I'm saying it in a sentence or two, but it took a long time for me to be able to accept what I'm saying. The Lord and I had to have some long, quiet times that weren't always quiet. This is true. But how I'm thankful that somebody pointed these things out to me. And then as it goes on, it does include our role as wives. I'm sure every wife has this problem because we're made up as we are. We women are made up as we are. But I don't know if anybody has a worse problem along this line than ministers' wives. So much of the time we have to be in charge of things because they're gone, you know, and this sort of thing. But one of the first things the Lord spoke to me about after the filling of the Spirit was my attitude. And was I really willing to submit myself without being rebellious? I might not say it out loud, but even rebellious down in my heart. You've got to keep honest if God's blessing can continue to flow. And that even means about this. Now, I'll just share with you. I know there was a time in my life that my attitude toward my family was, well, I've got things that I've got to do for the Lord. And they will just, I'm sure, they'll be happy to do everything that needs to be done in order to let me minister like I should minister. And there were times I felt like, well, if I was going to be late for supper, it looked like I was going to be late for supper. Well, Well, Peter, I'm out ministering and serving the Lord. Surely Peter would be glad to go home and do what has to be done. And the children ought to be so proud of a mother that's out serving the Lord until they ought to have, you know, keep everything going along and everything ought to be in good shape when I get home. Have any of y'all ever felt like that? Well, I hope you have better sense than I did. I have. But I had a feeling that I had a ministry, and it was just as important as my husband's ministry. And I prayed for him, and I supported him in his, and he ought to do the same thing for me and mine. You know? Well, this is true and it's not true all at the same time. It was the Lord. Oh, Peter told me a long time before. I hadn't listened to him. But it was the Lord that began dealing with me about this. Well, if it's the Lord doing it, you don't have any back talk. You can't talk back. And he began showing me my role. Peter is the head of our home. And in many instances, you say, but I've known the Lord longer. The Lord's spoken to me longer. And in reality, I really know the mind of the Lord better than he does. He might be the pastor, but it's just that way at our house. So we must be the exception. No, you're not the exception. You see, the Lord showed me one day, and he has to do things real simple in my life. It was probably about a situation like this. I had come in late. After all, I'd been counseling with somebody, and you know counseling just takes time. And I don't remember if it was one of those times that Peter needed clean socks and there weren't any clean socks, or if it was a time that he needed supper and there was a meeting coming up, or what. I don't remember what it was. But he reminded me of what my rightful place was. And I just didn't take it very graciously. I didn't say a lot to him. I can't stand arguing. It makes me sick. So people might think I'm a nice lady because I don't argue. The Lord doesn't think I'm a nice lady because I don't argue, because he knows what's going on in my heart. A lot of things that some of us easier natures get credit for, the Lord doesn't give us any credit for it. Because he knows what we're thinking and feeling in our heart. By the way, that was sort of like a slap in the face one day. My mother-in-law is one of the best friends I have. She is a precious, deep Christian. And it was during this time that I was getting over the nervous breakdown. I was in their home. And she said to me just one thing one day. She said, you know, Johnny, she said, you really don't get any credit for being nice. She said, now when Peter's nice, that's a real chalk up for him, because that's not his nature. I raised him and I know. She said, that's a victory. But you don't get any credit for being nice. Well, you know, I didn't say anything again. But that was one time I really wasn't very happy with my mother-in-law. Because I'd always enjoyed the fact that people thought I was, you know. But we don't get, that was just something natural. It was no victory in my life to be nice. I just don't like fussing. You know. So here was another area of false pride that I'll just throw in case some of you are easygoing folks that don't like fussing. And in your heart you think you're pretty nice because you don't. You back. Remember, God knows what's inside. But I'll never forget, back to the illustration I was using, I'll never forget the day that the Lord just sort of put me in place. He said, now listen, Johnny. If Peter does something that you don't think is right, if he's wrong in a situation in this home, that's between me and him. You let me handle it. But if your reaction is anything less than Jesus' reaction would be, that's between me and you. I'll repeat that. Anything that anybody does that's wrong to you. And he's reminded me of all this in a lot of situations. That's between them and God. God can handle that. But my reaction, if it's anything less than the Spirit of God reacting, if it's anything less than God, than love, then God will deal with me about that. And I am no better in God's sight when I react wrong than my husband is when he does wrong. And as ministers' wives, I know that we all have our opinions about how things ought to be handled. Not only in the home, but in the church as well. Well, I'll share something else with you. I think Peter mentioned this yesterday. It's something the Lord told me about the same time. He said, now listen, if you think there's something that needs changing there, the quickest way to get it done is this way. And I thought, but Lord, a lot of times it'd be a lot easier for me to just say the word, you know. But really, it's never easier that way. Is it? I've never accomplished anything that way myself. Maybe you are. Oh, I remember the times that I just figure out the nicest, smoothest, slickest, sweetest way of saying. And do you know, for some way, when Peter picked it up, it wasn't nice and slide off. He'd say, you mean so-and-so? Well, that's what I meant, but I didn't want him to get it quite that way. But that's really what it boiled down to, you know? And while I'm being honest, I might just go ahead and tell you, I guess the thing, maybe the statement, that the Lord has been able to continue to use with me as minister's wife. I'll remember one day, I don't remember the instance, but something along the ministry line had come up. And I really thought, I don't remember if Peter had reacted wrong to something, or if he hadn't thought of something I thought he should have, or it was something. And I thank God that he very calmly, without any sarcasm, but just very calmly said about the most hurt-cutting thing that I have ever heard in my life. It's terrible, but it was true. He said, you know, Johnny, I guess I just don't even need the Holy Spirit. I have you. Now you think of the times in your husband's life, husband's ministry, that you have tried to play, you have felt that you had to play the part of the Holy Spirit. Maybe you felt you had to show him something or lead him in some direction. That you were convinced he needed going. And you see, my problem, I found out, was that I did not understand my role as help meet. Now, I had it all wrong. I thought that help meet meant when I saw a problem he had, I was to help meet that problem. Well, of course, you know, you probably know better than that. But do you? Let me tell you, it is a reality that the quickest way is this way. And how wonderful to be relieved of the burden of my husband's ministry. Believe me. And this is unnecessary to say, but I'll just say it. The Holy Spirit has been successful in doing the job. And what a difference it has made in our relationship. Because if there's anything any man doesn't need, is when he comes home and he tells you a problem, the last thing he wants is for you to have the answer to the problem he hasn't been able to figure out. I felt I always had to have the answers. I felt like that was my, you know, I'd let him down if I didn't have all of his answers. But you know what this did? This did an awful thing to our relationship. This made him feel, I didn't know it until things got open enough and free enough between us that the Lord could finally work it out. But it gave him the feeling, well, she's more spiritual than I am. Well, it wasn't that at all. It gave him the feeling that he wasn't the man that he should be. He, as the man, he ought to be able to have the answers. Well, he didn't, but his wife did. I mean, this really cut. I did not understand this. I was being innocent in trying to help meet my husband's needs, and all I was doing was just pulling the rug out from under his ministry. What a difference in our relationship. What a difference, really, in his ministry. Now that I've found that I can really trust the Lord, and it's such a burden lifted. Now, it doesn't mean that I cannot. Now, we can talk about things. When it's obvious that I don't feel like his ministry is my responsibility, because he knew I felt that, although I never said it. And I was appalled to think that he thought that. But he did, because that's what it looked like. I was feeling responsible for his ministry rather than trusting the Holy Spirit to work in his life. And you see, what happens too is that then, sort of like, take our children, for instance. I don't know what, you probably have children of all different ages in this. Well, we have children of all different ages. All in one household. We have a 20-year-old son, a 19-year-old, you've probably heard this, a 19-year-old daughter, a 10-year-old daughter, and a 2-year-old son. And Peter says that's why he can preach to everybody's problems. We have them all. But I'll never forget. It's the same thought. One day I was praying for Richard, our oldest son. At that time, he was not following the Lord. And he was such a burden, concern. And he was headed to California. He was headed with a friend to Campus Crusades, 6 weeks long training course. But he was headed out there with surfboard in the back of the car. So that was just the way to get to California. And we knew that, but how we prayed God to do something after he got there, you know. And I remember one morning, I was praying, now, Lord, you give him a safe trip and don't let him get in contact with the wrong sort of people on the way, and you do this and you do that. You know, I was just huddling over him, you know. And the Lord said so plainly to me, he says, Johnny, if I do for Richard what you are asking me to do, I won't be able to do what I want to do in Richard's life. And this is true with, you can take that and work it with anybody and anything. If we can ever see that our role is not to do God's work in their life. Our role is to be available when he wants to use us, but not to feel the responsibility. It's his. And now my prayer is, Lord, I know you're sufficient. I want my children and I want to know, to learn that you are sufficient for their needs. Now, I'm available. If there's anything I can do, I'm going to trust you to come to me and tell. And, you know, you nudge me instead of me doing the nudging all the time. Oh, Lord, you do this and you do that and you do this. And, you know the difference. Apply this in all your relationships. That's another freedom. Tremendous freedom. Just last week while we were gone, about 12:30, the first night we were there, we got a phone call from my daughter, Susan. And something just real outlandish had happened to her. She was babysitting in a home, had babysat there before. One was a member of the church. And the woman had come in late and had found that her jewelry had been taken. And she called Susan. And she had figured it out, that there was no time that anybody could have done it except when Susan was there. What a hurtful, hurtful thing. And she called us. And she told the lady, she said, well, I told her that we would trust the Lord to work it out. And she said, well, we'll trust the police to work it out. And she let Susan know that the first thing in the morning she'd be calling the police. And what a hurtful thing. And the next morning, my first thoughts were, well, now, we'll call Susan and remind her that God's sufficient and that we're standing behind her. And the Lord said, no. If you do that, then you'll be being to Susan what I want to be to her this morning. And it was harder to back off than it was to just let him be to her what he wanted to be to her. And later in the day, her daddy called. And the woman had, well, her story was that the things had been returned. I don't know if the things had been returned or she'd found them, but praise the Lord, he took care of that. But do you know, she had called the police, and when the police came out, they said, all you have to do is let us know the name of this girl, because most of this fever is going on with babysitters. But she said, but she's a nice girl. He said, they're always nice girls. And, you know, if I just feel like it was an answer to prayer that God stopped that woman long enough. She says, well, I'll call you in a few days. But, you see, here again, it's the same thing right back again. Us trusting God for our husbands, for their ministries. When you are aware, a lot of times we as women are aware of needs of the whole congregation, and we can see, well, it looks like it's time now for the ministry maybe to take a different direction, for a new emphasis. Because I feel like churches are sort of like people. We grow along, and there's certain things we need at certain periods of growth in our churches as well as in our own spiritual lives. And then there comes a time for a new emphasis and this sort of thing. A lot of times we are maybe aware before our husbands when that emphasis needs to be a reality, you know, things need to be changed in that direction. In the same way, it works to go to the Lord. And it's so much better when your husband hears God tell him this. And then when he's going, moving the church in a different direction, he knows he's got God's word behind him. There's a lot of difference in that than having the advice of his wife behind him. Think of the difference that this could mean to our men when they're seeking to direct God's work. Let me just share one other thing. Margo, I can't read your clock. I have about 10 minutes. Let me share something with you that might be relevant. It's the same thing, just a different illustration, because when you get right down to it, some of these things just are basic. But I remember one time when my husband, it was during the time, I don't know, he's probably shared his testimony with you about when he wrote God a letter. Did he tell you all this about the time he wrote God a letter? Okay. Well, it was during that year when I knew his heart was crying out to God for direction. During that time, there was a man that came across our path, a man that we really had respect for as a Christian, because we had known his sister and brother-in-law years before, and we used to pray for this man to come to the Lord because he was such a character. Well, when he came to the Lord, he came to the Lord to the point that he then turned around and prayed for us. Like I said, we really appreciated what God had done in this man's life. Respected him. But he had different understanding about God's word than we did. And he was a real enthusiastic sort of person, you know. And he'd come by about once a week and he'd say, "You got it, Peter? You got it, Jeff, you know?" What he meant was he knew Peter was searching, and in his mind, the only thing that would meet Peter's need was that Peter talk in tongues. That was his answer. And so, knowing the sincerity of Peter's heart, and I knew Peter was open for anything God wanted to give him. And this is a real honor. This has been a real confession time. So I'll just tell you, because some of you might be feeling the same way. I got to the place where, although I appreciated this fella at a distance, I sure hated to see him coming. And I thought, well, Peter's so sincere, and there's just a good chance that, you know, he might get sidetracked. And I didn't say a lot, but Peter could just tell that I just wasn't real comfortable when he was around. And I was, you know, I was so afraid. And so I remember finally it got to the place. I could just see Peter, pastor of the Haverhill Baptist Church, going in the hospital, laying hands on people with serious diseases, and them getting up and walking out, you know. And to me, I just thought that would be terrible. This shows you how terrible I was. Because you think about that. Maybe you've already been thinking about that. But I thought, my, oh, here Peter has such a ministry ahead of him. And wouldn't that be, oh, Lord, that'd be awful. And all this was going around in my mind, all this business, you know. And I could just see us ostracized from any friend we'd ever had in the ministry. Because there were two churches in that same location, two Baptist pastors of ours that had been filled with the Spirit and that had spoken in tongues like during this week. When I say like today, like on Wednesday of a week. I'm not relating it to this conference. I'm saying like during the week. And then they had gone back to their churches that next Sunday. They had never had any teaching of any kind, but then they expected next Sunday for everybody to just accept this without, I mean, period, you know. And we knew two sister Baptist churches were being split right open. And so this was a part of my anguish of soul, you know. And I remember, and I'll just share this with you, going into a little bedroom and getting down between two twin beds and just crying out to the Lord. I was sort of like Brother Beasley said this morning. I was trying to get hold of the Lord, and he was just really just waiting for me to hush and let him talk to me a little bit. It was when, really, I consider this the time in my life, not when I gave myself to the Lord, but the time that I gave my husband's ministry to the Lord. Because during that time, God said to me, he went over every bit of theology I had in my head. He said, Johnny, do you think I love you? Well, yes, Lord, I know you love me. Do you think I love Peter? Why, sure, I know you love Peter. Do you think I'm as interested in Peter's ministry as you are? Well, yes, Lord, you know I am. I mean, I know you are. Well, then does it make sense that you would be fearful of anything I would do to Peter as far as his ministry is concerned? And then he really put me through the third degree. He says, suppose I do choose to give him a gift of healing. And suppose he could go and lay his hands on someone and pray that they be well. Would that be that awful? I mean, it made me see how horrible I was. Here I was thinking about my own little world. I mean, in a sense, God showed me it really didn't matter whether those people got well or not. I wasn't concerned with that. I was concerned about my own little world. And I was concerned with making sure God did it like I thought it ought to be done. So, he, like I said, he put me through the third degree. If I love you and if I'm concerned with Peter's ministry, do you think I'm going to lead him in the wrong direction? No, Lord. Would you even be willing for me to give him the gift of healing? I tell you, I didn't answer the Lord as quickly as I'm giving you my answers right now. I really didn't. This was anguish of soul because I knew I had to be honest with God. I couldn't just give him the answer I knew he wanted to hear. I had to be honest with me way down inside. And so I had to say, well, yes, because I'm confident in your love, God. I know I can trust you. And so, and the same with the tongues or anything else. Anything else. If God chooses to do this, well, that's God's business. And he loves. And he's more interested in Peter's ministry than I am. It's his ministry. It's not Peter's. It's God's ministry. So really and truly, I've got to take my hands off. But listen, don't you think for a minute that God expected me to take my hands off without a deeper trust in God than I had ever had before. I mean, when I said, God, I trust you now, I was tying everything I had in it. Everything in me meant, God, the only way I will take my hands off is that you can be trusted. Now, I'm believing that you're going to be faithful. And like I said, I know many of you have faced these same things. I know that we have gone into another ministry in our church that, I don't know, might be strange to many of you. But after the Spirit-filled life, and many times, we find that people, the devil rushes in behind. And there's evidence of all sorts of demonic problems that come up. And it was the same thing. I had to say, well, Lord. I mean, if it gets around that people come to us and are delivered of demons, where will that put us? You know? And sisters, it's gotten around. Almost everywhere we go, somebody will say, well, is this really true? What's happening? But I am so thankful I can say, yes, it's wonderful to see people set free that we tried all these years to work with, and there was nothing that the people could do. It was beyond them. How wonderful to be able to be a part of God setting people free in areas they had no control over themselves. So you see, God's had to do a lot of work in me. And I have a feeling that maybe some of y'all didn't even have these problems. But believe me, if you are, God can be trusted. With your ministry, as it fits in and under your husband's ministry. And I've come to see that when I really listen to the Holy Spirit and let him lead me in my ministry, quote. It's in the Lord's ministry through me. The Lord, if I let him, he will forever keep it in a right relationship to Peter's ministry. As a matter of fact, the Lord told me somewhere along the line, that I didn't have a more important ministry than ministering to my husband and ministering to my children. children. There's nothing that I do any more important than that. It doesn't matter who the person is that calls. Now, your family, they sense it when this is really the way you feel. And when they see you making decisions with them in mind over and above other people and other things. And when this is well enough established in your home that there's not any question about it, then you'll find them volunteering. Well, you go ahead, Mother, I'll fix supper. Or maybe Peter will say, well, if a phone call comes in at the wrong time, well, I'll take the kids out to dinner or something. But that took a while to be established at our house. Because I did not think of it in the right perspective. Now they know that they're the most important ministry I have. And then they can be a part of anything else that God would lead me to. The four different things, I didn't even take them in order today. The four different things that I found in my own life that are just basic, but that doesn't mean they're simple. They're four things that surely we all know. But first, and you might share this with your women at church, but first, that I must be totally committed to the Lord. I personally must be totally committed to the Lord. The Lord used Romans 12, 1 and 2 when he dealt with me along this line. Then, I must be willing for my husband to be totally committed to the Lord. You say, that sounds strange. Well, not if you think about it a minute. Aren't there times you'd just as soon he be more committed to making you happy than that ministry he's called to? We found this, as a matter of fact, the Lord just brought to mind friends of ours while we were in seminary. This precious man was so open to the Lord, his heart hungered for God and to be all God wanted him to be. She was satisfied for him to be a minister, but she felt that he took this business just a little too far. This commitment business. And this went on, you didn't notice it right at first, but when you became friends and you saw how there were times she called on him to make decisions contrary to what the Lord would have wanted. And this kept up. And I'm sure this isn't always the case, and it's not one of those scary tales to try to, you know, help you make the right decision. I mean, to force you into making the right decision, but it is to help you. But one day we were on the field, church field in Mississippi, and we got a phone call. And she had contacted the rapid type of polio, and before we could even get there, she was gone. And it was the real, it was all of those who knew them closely. No one would say it because we loved her too. But it was all, you know, just so real to all of us how God would never be able to use him as he desired and as God desired, because she was tying his hands, tying God's hands as she tied his. Now, this was a nice, sweet girl. They had children named the same as ours, Ruth Ann and Richard, or Susan and Richard. And there were just a lot of things that we enjoyed together. She wasn't an obnoxious, ornery person, but she just had her ideas about his ministry and how far he was to go. Now, after some years, those children were given a new mother that was just as committed as he was. How precious, oh, and how God has used that family. Now, I don't know, I don't understand the way God works, but it was always very real to me. And it's been a warning to me many times. Oh, Lord, you just let me know any time that I would stand in the way, stand between you and Peter. And we all need to realize it can happen. We can hinder God's work in their lives. Okay, so I must personally be totally committed. I must be willing for my husband to be totally committed. Then, that was number three, we must give their ministries to the Lord. And then we must be willing to be helpmeet, their helpmeet in this ministry. We must give their ministries and then must be willing, must be his helpmeet in this ministry. Only then is he really free, and only then are you really free. I was thinking, what are the things that I personally want more than anything else? What are my deepest desires for myself, for my home, and for our ministry? Have you ever answered those questions? It'd be good if you'll remember that little word, honesty, that big, awful word, honesty. That's not a nice word, except what it does for you afterwards. But what is your deepest desire for your own life, for your home life, and for the ministry that you're in? And it was a result of asking those questions that these four things came to mind. And I feel that surely these four what things are the ways that our deepest desire can be accomplished. The four I gave you. When I'm personally committed, be willing for him to be, give his ministry to the Lord, and then be his helpmeet. That is the secret to having your own deepest desires met. if they're anything like that, anywhere near what they ought to be. And it will result in the desires for your home and the desires for his ministry, or the ministry. It's God's ministry. That helps me to remember that. It's not Peter's ministry or even our ministry. It's God's ministry. And there'll be times it'll help you to remember that too. Is there anything any of you'd like to share with us? We have a minute or two, a few minutes. Maybe five. I don't know.
The Lord showed me a verse yesterday. It's been a real joy to me because thank you for it. I appreciate your testimony because I'm not that neat person. I'm a very strong will. I have always said, well, if I were a neat personality, I wouldn't have my problems. I wouldn't do these things. Thank you. It hurt. I appreciate that. I thank the Lord for it. The Lord showed me a verse yesterday in my daily Bible, and I've read it, I don't know how many times before that verse, a month, which says that a man shall leave his mother and father and cleave his wife, and the Lord shall make them one flesh. And I looked at the things and gems in my life that I'll do. The Lord said to me, that means it's my job.
That's good.
And I said, Lord, I don't know how you're going to do it, but I can. And he's helping me, and I know I'll do it.
That's good. Y'all all write that verse down. Mark what?
Mark 10.
Yeah.
I just want to praise the Lord for showing me when he filled me with the Holy Spirit. It's the whole thing, his work, and his responsibility.
Isn't that a relief?
What a relief.
Praise the Lord.
Praise God. What a relief.
It's wonderful. Thank you for sharing that. Yeah.
I found in the Living Bible, in the 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians, it tells it a little different. It's always been there, but I've just read it. The 7th verse, if you love someone, you will be loyal to him no matter what the cost. You will always believe in him, always expect the best of him, and always stand your ground in defending him. That's hard to do for your husband.
That's right. Now, as a matter of fact, if it wasn't for these impossible things, because that is impossible. But we had a man with us recently that said, thank God for the impossible, because then it's him possible. It's him possible. And only Jesus can make that third. As a matter of fact, that's what the 13th chapter of 2 Corinthians is. 1 Corinthians is a picture of Jesus. And he's the only one. As a matter of fact, someone blessed me by one day reading that at a meeting of some sort. And everywhere it put the word Jesus, everywhere the word love was, they put Jesus there. And if I have Jesus, then that's real. In my life, just like Brother Manley said this morning, it's there already. It's just a matter of knowing it's there and stepping out. Thank you for sharing that. Anybody else?
Yes. I'm thankful for what my husband said before we married. He said the Lord must come first. Anything.
Mm-hmm.
Any time I get up and leave, that would comfort me because I realized that the Lord had to come first.
That's great.
I want to say that I appreciate you. You gave your testimony, David, and I'm clear to me that I'm guilty of some of the things you were talking about, especially playing the part of the Holy Spirit in my husband.
Mm-hmm.
And I appreciate it. With God's help, I'm going to do something about it.
That's cool. That's great. That's great.
Thank you.
you. That's great. That's wonderful. You know, we just, like Peter says, how can we really depend on our reasoning? We can't. Because so many of the things we've put in our computers are wrong anyway, and we know we don't have just a fraction of knowledge, and a lot of that's wrong. And you know, it is not right thinking to not know. Well, we can trust God to do what's best, really best. And that was a new depth of trust I'd not known before. And now that's his business. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, what would some of the rest of you do? I think it goes right back, probably, to the attitude already being established with her husband, you know. And I would probably say to Peter, this is probably what I'd say now. Let me emphasize that. I'd probably say to Peter, Peter, do you think this would relate to that? Do you think this would be the answer? That's probably what I would do. And then, you know, that would leave it open for me to be wrong. So, do y'all have a better answer?